everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a scaly friend of ours because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful Savannah Monitor. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Charlotte, Bree, and to Teddy. Thank you for taking the time to send in your animal request, and this episode would not have been possible without you. For how to send in your very own animal request, and for all of the facts that were used in this episode, that info is immediately available in the show notes or the description, but I will also go over it at the end of the episode. If you love the show and would like more of it in the form of completely intro-free content as well as exclusive content, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or just click the Patreon link in the description. For only $1 a month, you get complete access to all of that exclusive content, and I look forward to seeing you there. And now, let us begin to wind down. As always, I have 3 primary exhortations for you. The first is to have a comfortable pair of shoes on. We're going to be needing some versatile footwear for where we're going today. And the second thing I encourage you to do is to notice perhaps where you are carrying tension. It doesn't matter if it is in the neck, in the shoulders, in the hands, everybody in this way is different, but my encouragement to you is the same. Do your very best to impersonate Jell-O. Jell-O, it seems to me, is like the antithesis of tension. And so bring up that Jell-O in your mind and really go for the Oscar here and do your best impersonation. Relax whatever it is that you tense. And my third exhortation to you is to give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into a tropical savanna of sub-Saharan Africa where the Savannah Monitor resides. This is quite a change of pace after our last trek in the mountains of northern Canada, but Africa has some of the most amazing wildlife the world has to offer, and so walking around in this dry savanna is a sure way to catch a glimpse of all sorts of creatures. But we are most concerned with one today, and so let's talk about specifically why we are in Africa. We are here because the savanna lizard really lives nowhere else, at least natively. The conditions of sub-Saharan Africa are perfect for this creature, and so that will include countries like Benin, Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Chad, Ethiopia, Gambia, Ghana, and many more. The dry heat is exactly where the savanna monitor loves to reside. But they are not only found in savannas, they can be found in grassland areas, rocky or even semi-desert habitats, and woodlands. But all of these places, of course, in the context of sub-Saharan Africa. So before we get up close and personal with the savanna monitor, let's just cover some generalities about them. That name that I am using, savanna monitor, is their common name. Their scientific name is, of course, much more Latinized and more complicated. It is Varanus exanthematicus. That word Varanus actually has its origination in the Arabic language, and it means something like lizard beast. That specific name, however, the exanthematicus, is Greek, something that we're much more familiar with on this podcast. And this refers to something like blisters or eruptions of the skin. It is referring to the scales that are large and oval-shaped on the back of the savanna monitor's neck. And so Varanus exanthematicus, or the savanna monitor, has 5 subspecies in total. Different subspecies oftentimes vary and can vary quite widely in the variables of size and weight. The savanna monitor is a very compact creature. It is well proportioned, stocky, and quite thick. It sports a very wide head, a short neck, and a short tail, at least when comparing to many other kinds of monitors. When I am talking about the savanna monitor, this is referring to a species of monitor lizards. So that term, monitor lizard, is sort of like an umbrella term that encompasses many large scaly lizards with long snake-like tongues. They usually sport something like large claws, a powerful tail, and significant length. And so an animal, as an example, that we have covered on the show already is the Komodo dragon. The Komodo dragon gains some reputation because of its status as the world's largest lizards, and it also happens to be a monitor lizard as well. And so the savanna monitor is a species that is included within that large umbrella of monitor lizards. So while the savanna monitor won't reach quite the size and stature of the Komodo dragon, they will still reach lengths of up to 1.5 meters long. That is nothing to scoff at. There are even some sources that cite they can grow up to 2 meters in length. But of course, this will differ depending on the subspecies. They will range from gray to brown in color, and they will have spots on their back that are arranged like rows. These spots will be yellow, dark on the edges, and circular. The tail will have sort of a tapestry of brown and yellowish rings, and underneath their body and on the inside of their limbs is going to be that familiar yellowish color. Their tongue is going to look like a snake's tongue and will be blue in color. All of these physical characteristics are going to play some sort of role in their environment. In terms of their build or their body proportions, this will make them very robust creatures, adept at things like digging, and they will also sport some powerful jaws with these blunt teeth. The savanna monitor is a primarily terrestrial creature, which means it spends the vast majority of its time on the ground. They are diurnal, which is opposed to nocturnal and means that they are primarily active during the day. They will do their hunting, their digging, mostly during the daytime and save the nighttime for sleeping and other sorts of passive duties. Their day is chock full of roaming around the savanna, looking for insects and other little invertebrates to eat. While they're in the wild, they will completely gorge themselves during the rainy seasons in order to get fat. These fat stores will give them a tremendous advantage during the drier seasons because they have a reserve of energy to draw from. The only issue with this behavior would be in the context of captivity. These creatures, if not taken care of properly in the context of, let's say, a home or in some sort of reserve, can easily eat themselves into obesity. This mechanism or behavior, however, when it is in the context of their native range, makes a lot of sense. And that qualifying word, primarily, is important. That is because they can sometimes be found in low trees or in bushes. Creatures that spend their time in trees, primarily, are called arboreal. Now, the savanna monitor is in no way arboreal, but will sometimes spend their time there. Now, the savanna monitors can get into these positions in the first place, in the low trees or in the bushes, by climbing. They are not only excellent diggers, but also excellent climbers as well. Now, as they are climbing and digging and hunting during the day, gorging themselves during the rainy season in preparation for the dry, their diet will include things like beetles, scorpions, snails, millipedes, snakes, small mammals, birds, other lizards, and eggs as well. This makes them a carnivorous creature, but a carnivorous creature with quite a large menu. Depending specifically on where they are, they will also eat toads as well. But you might notice that within that list of animals, not all of them are so easy to eat. Scorpions and snails have some connotation not of being very tender and easy to eat, but rather of being sort of hard-shelled and difficult to access. But this is where the powerful jaws of the Savannah Monitor come in. Their jaws are perfectly suited to crush things like snail shells, because the maximum leverage is placed at the back of the jaw instead of at the front. This gives them a very high bite force depending on where the creature is in its mouth. This very well-designed jaw, in addition to their blunt teeth, gives them the ability to eat some pretty difficult creatures. Scorpions and snails are no easy meal. Now housed behind those blunt teeth and on the inside of those jaws is a forked tongue. And this tongue will act in much the same way as a snake's tongue does. With every flick of their tongue, they will be sending loads of information to their brain about the environment. And not only are those creatures with hard exteriors difficult to eat, but their diet also is composed of some poisonous millipedes. These millipedes form a very large part of their diet, and the Savannah Monitor has an incredible behavior that avoids consuming much of this poison. They will rub their chins on the millipede for sometimes up to 15 minutes before they actually eat it. By doing this, they wipe away that fluid that is poisonous upon ingestion. That is a very important mechanism for the millipede as a defense. So these Savannah Monitors know exactly what they're doing. Now, as much as they are voracious predators, they can also be voracious fighters with their own. The male Savannah Monitors are very territorial and will defend their territory with fervor. They will chase away intruders by thrashing their tails, hissing, and inflating their throats in that characteristic way. And if the intruder decides that these things simply won't scare them away, they will get into something like a wrestling match. There are no referees here in the wild, and so their wrestling will be one of aggression and will include things like biting. If, however, a predator of the Savannah Monitor makes themselves known, the Savannah Monitor will again hiss or strike the ground with their tail. But if those intimidation tactics do not work, they do have a last resort, and that is playing dead. There are many animals that we have covered on the show so far that play dead, and they do it because it works. Perhaps not 100% of the time, but as a last-ditch option, there is no harm in trying it. The mating season for the Savannah Monitor is going to be the same time in which they are gorging themselves with food, so in the rainy season. So the females have a gestation period of about 4 weeks, and after those 4 weeks, the female will dig a hole in the ground and bury 15 to 45 eggs that will hatch after just 5 months. The hatch rate for the eggs is at 100%, which, in the context of the wild, is very, very high. Sometimes the females will also use existing termite mounds, because after the eggs have been laid within the hole, the termites will close up that hole for the female and provide a warm environment during that incubation period. And now for the last fact, let us move on to the name of the creature. Now, the first part of their name, the Savannah Monitor, is a little bit more intuitive as to why they are named that, given their habitat. And so what we're going to cover is the word lizard and the word monitor. The word lizard, as we use it today, was coined in the late 14th century. It means an animal resembling a serpent with legs added to it, and that is quite an apt description for lizards. But this word goes back to an Anglo-French word, to an Old French word, and back to Latin as the majority of English words go. Where this Latin word lacerta came from, which means lizard, is currently unknown, but we can track it back all the way to the Latin language. Monitor, this word was coined in the 1540s and was used for senior pupils at a school charged with keeping order. So senior students that would somewhat be involved in the process of keeping order in the classroom or in the school. Hence the terms that are now falling out of favor, but one of which includes hall monitor. And this is a direct import from the Latin word monitor, which is defined as one who reminds, admonishes, or checks. So perhaps monitor lizards are called so because they are creatures that admonish and check their environment and keep things in tune. That is, of course, a speculation, but I couldn't find anything else in this regard. And now let us move on to the review portion of the show. This review was written by 46 and 2, writing all the way from the United States of America. And 46 and 2 writes, I really appreciate your show, as it has helped me relax through a few rough months for our family. I immediately breathe a sigh of relief when I hear the first few soft piano notes at the beginning of each episode. Thanks for providing a safe and peaceful soundscape for all of us. Lastly, I would love to hear an episode on crested geckos, a very interesting animal my son has had as a pet for the last 5 years. Thanks again, Steph. Smiley face. Thank you, 46 and 2, for taking the time to write this wonderful review. Whenever I read reviews like this, it makes me so grateful to be hosting this podcast, and I am glad that for you personally, the show has helped you relax in a tumultuous few months, and the show will be there for the brighter future as well. Crested geckos are also a wonderful suggestion, and so I will be sure to give you a shout out, but I only have your username, 46 and 2. And so if you'd like a shout out more personally, you can send me an email along with your name and your son's name if you'd like, so I can give you a proper shout out on your future episode. If the show has been helpful to you at all and you want to give back in a way that is very quick for you, leaving a review is one of the most impactful things you can do. In just a couple minutes, you can tell me what you like, what you don't like. You can help the show get better. You can help more people find the show. And so I greatly encourage you to leave a review, whether it's 1 or 5 stars. If you would like to request an animal to be featured on the podcast, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the animal request tab. If you wish to reach out to the show for any other reason, you can do so by sending a message to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram or by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. The resources used in the making of this episode come from hideawaysafrica.com, britannica.com, atozanimals.com, animalspot.net, animaldiversity.org, and etimonline.com. All of those are listed in the show notes or the description, and so I encourage you to search to your heart's content and explore the other stuff that they have, because without their individual contributions, this episode would not have been possible. For intro-free episodes and exclusive content for only $1 a month, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts and support the show while getting more of it. What a wonderful creature we got to cover today. It's always great to hop from Canada to Africa to Australia to Europe. Each place has a variety of environments and each place has a variety of cool critters as well. I hope you all have enjoyed this episode as much as I did, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.